हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 63, Chapter 21, Lord Krishna's Explanation of the Vedic Path. Sri Krishna continued, by refraining from a particular sinful or materialistic activity, one becomes freed from its bondage. Such renunciation is the basis of religious and auspicious life for human beings and drives away all suffering, illusion, and fear. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura concludes, the purport of all rules concerning good and bad is detachment by restricting the tendency to enjoy. Right? So here, the good and bad says all rules concerning good and bad. Right? Because, in other words, there's no rule that good and bad. So this concept that there's good and bad, that's what has to be given up, because good and bad is according to the position one's in. Right? Does that make sense? On the material platform, we'll say, this is good, that's bad. And then whatever it is, we'll judge according to that. And that will only create external consciousness. Right? But it's good and bad based on what's appropriate for that individual to advance, you know, spiritually. So therefore, in this position, it's good. In that position, it's bad. Does that make sense? So, in other words, let's say the brahmachari. So then to spend so much time with women, that's bad. As a grihastha, that's good. As a vanaprastha, it's okay. As a sannyasi, it's bad. So how do we define good and bad? It's according to the individual. So if we say there's good and bad, and that's all there is, that's an impersonal concept. It's not personal. It doesn't take individuality into context. Right? So that always has to have those things. Does that make sense? So that's the meaning of, you have to give up good and bad, because we'll see according to our view good and bad and try to apply that to everything. And then everybody else has their concept of good and bad, tries to apply the same thing, has the same problem. Does that make sense? That's the difficulty. So therefore, the Vedas give the definitions of good and the definitions of bad, but according to the individual, then you have to judge whether it's good or bad. It's not that there's not absolute statements about what's good and what's bad, but they are adjusted according to those six points. Right? The time, place, the circumstance, the performer, the action, and the
mantra.
And the mantra. Yes.
I'm not clear. We have absolute set of rules.
Yes. But we have also an absolute set of how to apply those rules.
Yeah, this is very difficult to understand.
But that's why it's such a perfect system. It applies to everything. Because when you use these more simplistic systems... And why I use the word simplistic, meaning that they don't use all the aspects, then has there ever been this perfect system? Whatever is there, someone else opposes it, there's fighting, there's this and that, and there's never... Everyone's striving for that perfect system. And the Vedic is that perfect system.
So we're given the best system, but we don't really know how to operate that system.
Because of lack of qualification. Right? Because you have to be in goodness to actually operate the system.
Because absolute set of rules is one thing, and individual is a complete separate thing. So how to combine those?
But it has to be individual within the complete whole. Mm-hmm. Means God's an individual, And at the same time, he's a complete whole. So that's why everything has that same aspect. Everything has this inconceivability because that's the way Krishna is. So when we accept Krishna's like that, then we accept that everything else is like that. But we want to judge things by our own logic. But the problem is that our perception of things is also coming from Krishna. Right? The potency to perceive is coming from Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. It's coming from Krishna. It's not coming from the external energy. Right? Means the potency comes through the external energy. But it's coming from him originally. So everything is based off of him because he's complete and perfect. Everything is his complete and perfect that comes from him. So that whole aspect is that one has to be able to understand that there are rules and then you apply the rules. Because even if we try in material to come up with a set of rules, there's always going to be adjustments to that by time, place, and circumstance.
Yes, this is the question. So
that's the Vedic rules already have the system for looking at time, place, and circumstance.
Yes.
That's the thing. The modern doesn't. How do you define? Like freedom of speech. That's one of the, you know, main points that is there. I forget how many there are. You know, it's one of those one should know. But there's a certain amount of things that are there. So freedom of speech, I think, maybe is the first one.
Constitution.
Yeah. So then it's the first one that's there. But what does freedom mean and what does speech mean? That they don't define, but the Vedas do. It'll say freedom of speech and define freedom and define speech. But because they don't, then who knows how many articles are given on that to, not articles, but amendments are given to apply it. You know, it even came up once, it was, you know, one of the rappers and that, and everything that he says, you know, I say generally doesn't have less than or more than four letters, right? And so then, and who's listening to this? You know, the adolescents. And so then there's a big, you know, kerfuffle about that. And so, but then it's freedom of speech. But that means then, are they then saying that one can just talk whatever one wants, whenever one wants, however one wants, in any situation? Is that what freedom of speech meant? Or was it meaning that someone had religious beliefs, they could speak that, they had political views, they could speak that, they had philosophical views, they could speak that? That's what it was addressing, because otherwise, when they were back in their countries they were from, wherever they were from, you know, especially in England, then they had their own idea of what was these, and if you had any different religion, then there was a problem. So they came to America for freedom of speech. Does that make sense? So that's what it is, not that anybody can say anything at any time. Because otherwise, if that goes, then, you know, why do I have to eat? Why is political correctness? Because that's restricting my speech. I have freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you're supposed to be a gentleman, cultured, behave properly, know the situation, and then speak. Right? Because for this person, he'll say it's artistic, it's this and that. No, it's just money. Otherwise, why isn't he just making a thing and putting it up on the internet for free? People do that. Right? Because they're just into the music. They like the music. But these people who are going to the course, you have to have money to go to the course where they get the money from selling their stuff. So for them, it's just economics. Pure 100%. They'll say it's, you know, artistic, you know, license and this and that. But it's not. It's just money. Otherwise, go down to, you know, one of the local, you know, whatever it is, nightclubs, and then sit there because they have live music and you can play all day and nobody cares. You can say whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? So it's about their fame. It's about their money. It's about their prestige. It's not about freedom of speech. So that's the point, is that you have that rule. Then they have to make so many amendments to that because it's not defined. But in the Veda, it is defined. Right? Even how speech works is defined. You know, coming from the nod and then up through the chakras and all these things. You know, so it's not getting, the constitution is not getting to that much detail. So, therefore, it appears confusing because there's so much knowledge. But that's the point. You want to take positions and responsibility, then you have to have the knowledge. Otherwise, if we just go by the seat of our pants, you know, it works great in Hollywood movies, you know. But the point is in reality, then that's not actually how it goes so much. You know what I'm saying? And even if it does go like that in America, nowhere else in the world they do seat of the pants. They're the seat of the pants people. You know that saying?
No.
Fly by the seat of your pants just means whatever you feel like is what you do. You just work it out at the moment. You break all the rules, you do all the things, but you... You know, it's the maverick. You know, that's the American thing. You just felt like it. The guy's a wimp, can't do anything like that. Everyone harasses him, spend his whole life, and then somebody, you know, how you say, eats his fish. You know, pet fish. Then he goes on a rampage, wipes out all the big, you know, mafiosos, this and that, everything. You know, it's just like, how does that work? That's America. You know, nowhere else they do that. No? Yes.
So when we have a good set of rules and we have to apply personal approach, what do we adjust? From which part we do the adjustment?
Means you start from the rule. The rule has to be applied.
Yes.
Then you have to see, okay, then how has this been practiced in tradition? Right? Then from the tradition, what do our acharyas say? Then from that, what do our, you know, leading, you know, in our association, and then how does that apply into my life? Or in this case, into someone else's life. The point is that you have to know, but that means you have to know the principle behind what it is they're trying to accomplish, or what you're trying to accomplish. And so then you see, because we see here is that all these rules, you know, of time, place, and circuit are based on purity. And that's, we would not have used that word. We would have used maybe management or some other thing. But it, all it is that it's purity so that you, what did he say here? So, purport of all rules concerning good and bad is detachment by restricting the tendency to enjoy. We would have never given that definition. And that all the specific rules, that they're all based on cleanliness or purity, we would have never given that definition. That's the problem. We go in from other definitions. It's about management, which management means I'm in control. And so all that's left is I am the enjoyer. Right? And so it's kind of like accepted, okay, I'm not the enjoyer. And so that will bring out the, what do you call it? The puritanical element in the, you know, American. Because that's the thing. They're either hedonists or puritans. There's nothing in between. Like that. You don't have any range there. Like that. But, you know. So then, So then the difficulty comes down is that we don't have the proper, we're not using the proper angle of vision to look at these things. Because it's a matter of, what is the pure state by which the person will be able to restrict the senses and advance in God consciousness? That would be what we're looking at. So that means for the individual, for the temple devotees, the community, the public, any of these kind of situations, we'd be looking at that. You know, so how can they, in their position, be Krishna conscious? Are they on the level of pure devotion? Are they mixed with karma or jnana? And if so, then what elements of karma come in? Or what elements of jnana come in? Or what elements of bhakti come in? Does that make sense? So that's how you have to look at it. So there must be knowledge. And that knowledge means then it's something that's contemplated. While again, seat of the pants means I don't contemplate. It's just however my gut feeling at the moment, that's how I react. And then over time, I start to see patterns in my gut reactions, which ones worked and which didn't, and now I'm very sagacious and I have some, you know, wisdom. But the point is it may work up to a point, but the principle that's making it work and the patterns are all coming from the Vedic system. They're all coming from Krishna, because Krishna gave. So even the patterns that the modern society or atheistic societies use are still patterns given by Krishna. Like it said, even the philosophies that people have, Krishna gives those. You want to be an atheist, he gives the philosophies.
Can we say they're fragments of Vedanta? You take a fragment and make it into a philosophy?
Yeah, yeah. They're taking a portion and try to make a complete whole out of it. So that's why it's a problem. You know, it's like children trying to make a complete nutritious meal out of a bar of chocolate. Right? You know, there's a problem there.
Yeah.
You know, it you can say, but we eat chocolate. Yes, we do, but at this point in the meal and this volume, we don't, you know chocolate's, you know, how you say that Vedic verse about chocolate being the beginning, the middle, and the end, you know, like that. Yeah, so.
Three chocolate, yeah. Three colors.
Yeah, okay, yeah, what do you call it? The chocolate body. Yeah, so the whole difficulty is that we have to be able to see according to this. And the point is one may say, oh, this is going to be very difficult, very elaborate, so much knowledge. But actually it's not. It's I mean, in one sense it is, because Krishna is everything. But the point is, you see it connected to Krishna, then it makes sense. Krishna reveals. Because even one doesn't want to see it connected to Krishna, Krishna still has to reveal that to you. Right? Because, you know what I'm saying? The guy was taking his bath, and then Krishna reveals, then he gets up and runs around, you know, shouting Eureka. Right? But the point was, he was just taking a bath. Right? Because it's one of the times where you stop thinking and kind of relax, then, you know, it can work. Right? Isn't it? Right? So that's the whole point. Is that there are methods. Krishna gives it. You follow the method, it works. You don't follow it, it doesn't work. But with the non-devotees, then as impersonal Brahman, that's how he's equal with everyone in reciprocating, as the various elements, whatever they're seeing him as. But for the devotees who worship in devotion, then he is a person reciprocates. Then you see him as a person. Then you can see these rules connected to him as a person. Because otherwise, on their own, they are difficult. When Draupadi came out and asked her questions in the assembly, then even Bhishma Dev didn't know how to answer. Right? You know, Vidura gave an answer, but, you know, who's going to listen to Vidura? Right? But Bhishma Dev couldn't, because it was bewilderment of you know, being dependent upon the Kauravas, so that has an effect on his consciousness. Vidura is not. He could speak clearly. And then I think it was Vikarna. He also spoke clearly. You know, but that didn't really work out for him. But, you know. So that's the whole thing, is it is difficult. But you approach it from the devotional point, that's where it starts to become easy. What is best for devotional service? And devotional service means the consciousness is elevated. Not best for devotional service is getting the result that I'm in the field I'm working in. Because you can say, yes, we want the best for Krishna, so it should be managed the best for Krishna, therefore doing it this way is the best way to manage it, therefore this is Krishna conscious. But the point is, it's the consciousness that you do it in that makes it Krishna conscious. It's not that result makes Krishna consciousness. Like we said, I've seen temples that are in debt, everyone's Krishna conscious, and I've seen temples that are, you know, they got money in the bank, but no one's inspired. So it's consciousness. It's not how well managed it is. At the same time, you've seen those that are really well managed and everyone's Krishna conscious, and you see those that are badly managed and no one's Krishna conscious. Yes. So you have the whole range, right? So it's yeah. So that's the point. Everything's in Krishna consciousness. But when does this start? When we accept that this is the way it is, right? The question shouldn't be, is Varnashram applicable in this day and age in the life of, you know, devotees who are transcendentalists and chant Hare Krishna and are beyond the rules? Or should it be, how does Varnashram apply into our lives as devotees, since that's what Prabhupada and the Acharyas and Krishna have given to us? So how do I apply that to my life, and how do I apply it into situations that have effect on others?
Yes.
That's the question. Have you ever heard that question asked? Right?
No. Just no. Now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yes.
Right. So that's the difficulty, is that very rare. I mean, probably since in the beginning 80s, so then that would have been, yeah, like 35 years or so of, you know, discussing, you know, strongly on Varnashram or that. Then I think twice I've come across where a person actually asked, well, how do I practically apply that in my life? And I'm so How you say?
Baffled.
Yeah, just like, it's always you're fighting to prove it, and that's the only, you know, you think in that area, that when someone says, well, how do you apply it, it's kind of like,
so you start crying.
It's like, no, it's just, wow, okay, yeah, let me think about that, you know, because no one's asked that, you know. But I, literally twice in 35 years. Like, once I think in the 90s it came up, and once in the how do you call it, the naughties or whatever you call them? What are they called? I don't know. I mean, after 2 years, then you have the 20s. Then you can say it. You know, what do you call these? The teens and then before. The noughts, the naughties, the teens. The noughts. Yeah, but what do you call the now?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. What do you call
it? It doesn't ring right.
Yeah, because you say, as you know, 1917, this, that, 1910, but after that was his 20s. They say in the 20s. They don't necessarily have to say the year, but before that, then they say the year. So it seems that they don't have a system.
It's not Vedic. Not
Vedic. Yeah, not how you say. People are still bewildered by the change, and that, mm-hmm. that takes them 20 years now. They adjust. Okay. You know. Yeah. Yeah, then we'll have what? Y2.1K. Right?
Yeah.
So that means better than 2.0?
I would doubt it.
Okay. Is that any, so when we accept it, that's when we can start to work with it. Then when we accept it and we try to use it for Krishna in our, you know, according to our nature and position, then Krishna will reveal. But the point is if we don't accept it, then it'll always be a bewilderment. Because they said there's good and bad, then is for the purpose of restricting the tendency to enjoy. Right? By producing detachment. Because you would do saying so much, so you reduce it down to a regulated thing. By that regulation, then you can start to get observe it and get knowledge and detachment. Right? And by following the rule, you get purified. So, you know, it all works. So that's there. And then it has six aspects in which you apply it. Right? Those six, you know, time, place, circumstance. Well, it's a person, work, and mantra. And so, and the purpose of that is purity, or, you know, of the action or results. That the purity of the effect that it will have on the individual, you know, or the group or whatever you're dealing with. Does that make sense? And so then you have to see also just how those go together. So the place or the time and all that, because of their effect that it will have on the individual. You know, like we said, you pick an auspicious time for the marriage, then the marriage goes nicely, like that. It means you have a nice situation for the marriage. Now, if they don't want it to go nicely, they can always make it not go nicely in a perfect situation. That means it's always possible, like that. But, so, you know. So, the point is that it's all about, that's what we're dealing with in all the rules. So if you start from there and go down, then, you know, leadership or management or administration or all that, then it's based on these. So how is, then if we look at it, where does management fit in? Right? So you're managing to see that the time, place, the circumstance, the person, the work, and the mantra are being utilized so that there is actually advancement so that they become detached and, you know, therefore give up their tendency to enjoy. That's what management's for. Right? It brings a whole different spin on management. Because we look at it just you're getting something done, but what is that something? And what is done? How do you define that it's you got a result? How do we call that a result?
So there's an attachment to the result.
Yes, because we're falsely identifying I'm the manager, which is fine to engage in Krishna's service, but then we have to understand is that we're not using the Vedic rules. Then what will happen is we'll make up our own. And our own rules, then, you know, we may have some ability, you know, from good karma that we have some ability in management, or not. You know? Does that make sense? Because if we can quote stuff from 20 years ago in management, why can't we quote stuff from the Veda? Because in the corporate world, if it's 6 months old, it's archaic. It's a dinosaur. You know? Like that. And then, so, but we can quote from 20 years ago? So then that becomes the point, is that if it's a fact that it actually works, that means it always works. So we can't use, oh, it's called a yuga, we can't use these things, and then use things that are archaic.
Actually, that from 20 years ago, that's archaic.
That's what I'm saying. That's archaic, because what's from the Veda is eternal.
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty. When you have the faith, when the faith is placed in the right place, then these things start to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can see is that technically what's being given here is very, very important for practical application. Now we've seen the principles that are there, and that, and the practices by great personalities, and then the Lord's pastimes with these personalities, and then beyond. And so then, you know, we find that to be a very nice thing. So now we're given the technicality by which we can do that, you know, on an advanced level. Because the other levels have already been explained. Now it's more advanced. So if it's not working there, this will explain why it's not working. Right? So then you see is if by that approach, then management becomes simply an assistant to God consciousness. And it's not what produces God consciousness. Because if you're manipulating the time, place, circumstance, person, mantra, and action, then that manipulation, if it doesn't support Krishna consciousness by producing purity, then how is it a valuable management? How can you say it's good? Because good means the individual you apply it to, then it becomes improved. And if they don't become improved, then there's something wrong there. Not necessarily technically in the management, but in the whole consciousness that went into it. You know, it's like somebody organizes a festival, and managerially it's a perfect festival, but no one actually enjoyed the festival. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what does that mean? It means management isn't actually the thing. It's the Krishna conscious. So somehow or another the management was done, but somehow or another the exclusion of the Krishna conscious content means in the way of consciousness. You know, it's just like, let's say you're having, just for example, you're having one of those kirtan mela things, and you have a schedule, and everybody's got their time and all this and that. And then somebody comes along that wasn't on the schedule, but they happen to be a great kirtanier, everybody wants them to sing. And so they sit them down, they start, and then the manager comes out, no, they can't sing now, this one's this thing, and this and that. Then is everybody going to be happy? Because their thing is the management makes the kirtan mela perfect, rather than the chanting of the holy name. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is all these aspects of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, you know, all the Varna, they have to be seen as subservient to devotional service. They're not synonymous with. You know, just like the kitchen is subservient to cooking. It's not synonymous with. You use it in cooking, but it itself is not cooking. So right there you have this, you know, seeming contradiction. You know, so if they're useful, that means they're cooking. No, they're not. But there's principles. You understand the principles, then you go to apply them, then they work. And therefore, that's why we take shelter of the acharyas. They're seeing this and all that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And okay. Yes.
Usually this knowledge doesn't get to that side. Should
it doesn't get, it's just a matter of it'll go wherever it should go.
So can we do something about it? We just do our best and
we just try to apply it in our life, and where in our service it applies, we apply it, and that's what we can do, because you can't do beyond that. Because the point is, the manager, that's their area of application, so they apply it there. And if we're not doing that, then we apply it in our area, because wherever is our nature, that is that is the right place to apply it. Right? So in other words, we'll apply it that we don't get upset that they're doing what they're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right. What does mantra mean in this context?
Mantra?
Yeah. I mean, I know what the word means, but...
It means whatever mantras are being used for performing a ritual or stuff like that. Like that. So it's just that, but you've got received those mantras from authority. So they've come down in the parampara, therefore they're pure. And you maintain the standards, they maintain their purity. For you. It means they're always pure. Like that. So you hear from the right source, you use it in the appropriate way, then it maintains its purity. Okay. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Lila 6220, it is stated, renunciation is the basic principle sustaining the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Seeing this renunciation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is extremely satisfied. The path of enjoyment is shown to be the cause of great obstacles. In order to defeat persons absorbed in the path of enjoyment mentioned in the Vedas. This is explained in four verses, Sardartha Darshani. Okay, so that means this next four verses. Or the next four, it says here, this Sardartha Darshani, what is being given, that's on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or that's on the Bhagavatam verse? On this Bhagavatam verse. Okay. Sri Krishna continued. One who accepts material sense objects as desirable certainly becomes attached to them. From such attachment, lust arises and lust creates quarrel among men. Okay, so that's then. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, men become attached because of thinking that certain objects are good. From that attachment, desire arises. From desire arises quarrel with persons who oppose one's desires. Yeah, exactly. So, in other words, if there's a quarrel, just work backwards. Okay, there's a quarrel. Okay, he's getting in the way of my desire. What is that desire? That's coming from that attachment. That's because I think this is good. Right?
We can say it is attachment.
But then you wouldn't be involved in the quarrel. Means, yes, it's his attachment that he gets to eat all the Mangalartik sweets, but then you're quarreling with him because you have an attachment that possibly you should be eating them. Yeah. Or he shouldn't be eating them. In any case, he's not the one supposed to be eating them.
Yes.
Sri Krishna continued. From quarrel arises intolerable anger, followed by the darkness of ignorance. This ignorance quickly overtakes a man's broad intelligence.
Do we get the Bhagavad Gita verse in this regard?
Oh, okay. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. Sri Krishna continued, From quarrel arises intolerable anger, followed by the darkness of ignorance. This ignorance quickly overtakes a man's broad intelligence. O Shantli Uddhava, a person bereft of real intelligence is considered to have lost everything. Deviated from the actual purpose of his life, he becomes dull, just like a dead person. Because of absorption and sense gratification, one cannot recognize himself or others. Living uselessly in ignorance like a tree, one is merely breathing just like a bellows. Right? Because then that's where you become so self-centered, you can't see others, see their nature, their needs, anything like that. So that's then how it works. So it's just, one doesn't allow that to come up. That's why sense gratification, you see, as Krishna keeps pointing out, the devotee has to give up the desire for sense gratification. Right? He's not saying giving up sense gratification, it's giving up the desire for sense gratification. Because if there's no desire for sense gratification, this process doesn't work.
You can enjoy your senses without the desire.
No, you'll enjoy serving Krishna without the material desire. You mean by engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. So you'll be happy. That's why there's bliss. But it's bliss because it's about Krishna.
You will enjoy, but it's not about the enjoyment.
Yeah. Like that. So when you make it about the enjoyment, you won't get enjoyment. When you make it not about the enjoyment, about Krishna, then you actually enjoy. But you won't be aware of the enjoyment, you'll be aware of Krishna. And that's more enjoyable.
Tricky stuff.
Yeah, it means the enjoyment from a particular secondary activity is not as great as the enjoyment of Krishna's happiness. So it's just a matter, it's not that secondary doesn't have effects, it's just that they don't compare to the primary. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, from anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again to the material pool. Right? So he says like that, then lust, then from that you get the anger, then the ignorance, then the intelligence is overcome. Why? Because then the memory, because you don't remember who you are, who other people are, what's the purpose, what's everything. You just become attached to a certain thing. And then fight over that, when actually the purpose is, no, it's not like that. Sri Krishna continued, those statements of scripture promising fruitive rewards do not prescribe the ultimate good for men, but are merely enticements for executing beneficial religious duties, like promises of candy spoken to a dosed child to take beneficial medicine. Right? It's not about the candy, it's about the medicine. So all these things, you say, no, but it's all right. No, it's all right only because there's a higher purpose. Does that make sense? So the Vedas will present things that will get you to do something higher. You know, like the aspect of the upasana of worshipping demigods, because in that you'll worship the Supreme Lord before you worship the demigods. So it's not actually authorizing demigod worship, it's getting you to worship Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Simply by material birth, human beings become attached within their minds to personal sense gratification, long duration of life, sense activities, bodily strength, sexual potency, and friends and family. Their minds are thus absorbed in what defeats their actual self-interest. This ignorance of their real self-interest is wandering on the path of material existence, gradually heading towards darkness. Why would the Vedas further encourage them in sense gratification? If they, although foolish, submissively pay heed to the Vedic injunctions. Right? So, the Vedic injunctions are to control that. Right? The quality will be better, but the point is then it becomes less and less and less. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the idea, because in doing that, you're purified, and then by the process of devotional service, you're getting a higher taste. So then the lower taste can be given up. Even though, let's say, the lower taste is improved, but it's getting more and more restrictive. And so then, but no matter how much it improves, it'll never be as nice as devotional service. Then one can see and then leave. Right? That's the whole process. Yes?
And Maharishi, it is working for everyone. Everyone can,
yes.
Can make progress.
Yes. Yes, everybody can make. So whatever their position, you start from there.
Yes.
Like that. BBT purport states, one who opposes the Lord's purpose in the name of religiosity is certainly bewildered about the purpose of life. The conditioned soul is dreaming of a world separate from God, but any advancement experienced in this dream world is merely hallucination. Such imagined happiness is simply the intense expectation of a satisfaction that never comes. The true meaning of Veda or perfect knowledge is to surrender the Supreme Lord in full Krishna consciousness for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge as the Lord's faithful servant. Okay, then here, Vritti. This conundrum was addressed in the fourth and fifth chapters of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Srila Vyasadeva's despondence after compiling the Vedas. Sri Narad Muni thus instructed, "The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy. You have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions." Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.15. So, they will just see, I can do this, and they'll generally not care for the prohibitions, right? Because unless they have some sense of duty or there's some aspect of goodness, you're only going to accept the part you like. So if it's goodness, then you'll accept the part that's restrictive. Right? But even then, you know, the point is if it's being seen in context of the material, then when you don't want that anymore, that particular need, you may not follow those rules. Well, if it's about pleasing Krishna, then whatever's the recommended rules, those are always followed. Right? So that's the point of the detachment, right? One does an activity because one's attached. When one's not attached, you don't do the activity. But if it's a prescribed duty, then you do the activity whether you're attached or not. So therefore, you can start off because of attachment, you're engaging in Krishna service. Then as you become detached, you still do it as service to Krishna. The point is, if it's service to Krishna, it's service to Krishna. All that's left out is that mix of karma that was, or jnana that was there previously. Right? Now it's pure bhakti. Yes.
We know in the early days, the approach to sense gratification was very aggressive, like we fought with everything. And nowadays it's very kind of relaxed. So what would be the proper balance?
It's connection to Krishna. So because before, the idea is that you're not dealing with a wide range of engaging the senses.
Yeah.
Because in one sense, if you're on advanced, you don't require that. At the same time, as if you have no training, you can't function outside that either. So that's the interesting point, is that this lifestyle we've been given, you know, the simplified Vedic lifestyle, then is someone who's advanced in knowledge of Krishna consciousness, then for them that's the natural lifestyle. Right? But for someone who's not advanced and who has no training, they can't follow anything else either, because the more technical that they require for their position, they can't follow it. They don't have the qualifications. That's why they're functioning outside the Vedic system. Does that make sense? Because if someone is following it, then it's a matter, it's not the rules, it's the essence. So if you have a smarta, you have to show them what the essence is. It's about pleasing Krishna, not the rule.
Yeah.
Right? And so them in their position, they follow the rules, then they go like that. And then with time, when they find that it's not so important, they just do what's pleasing. You know, it's just like, let's say for an example, doing puja. Okay? So then there's these five main items that Krishna likes. You know, the nice food, nice dress, nice ornaments, nice scents, and?
Flowers.
And nice flowers. So that, then someone beginning puja can relate to. Right? Then as they become purified by that, they see there's so many more rules and regulations. Then they get into all these rules and regulations, and then they do, you know, all the technical aspects of the puja, and they're quite absorbed. But then with time, then it's seen that that technicalness isn't actually the thing. It's the pleasing Krishna. Right? So then one may, if one's doing that kind of puja, like Shalagram, they continue the technical, but now the focus will be on pleasing Krishna. But many times we find if it's personal puja, then they'll simplify back to basically just these five items again. You know, they'll do the 16, but they'll do them simple and focus on these five. So that's the point, is that middle stage actually needs qualification. You know, just like chanting the holy name, that anybody can do, but at the same time as the Paramahamsas, that's their absorption. Right? But someone who's in the beginning is not qualified to chant the Gayatri Mantra. So it's with time, by devotional service, they become qualified, they can chant Gayatri. right? But it's actually in support of the holy name. So that kind of aspect comes in that we're not used to. You know, because we think if you can do it in the beginning, then at the end it must be, you know, it gets more complicated, so at the end it's the most complicated. But it's not. It becomes simplified again. Like that. So that's the thing, is that the system Prabhupada gave us is perfect for the beginning and the end. And in the middle, we have all the information that if you want to make life more sophisticated, you can. But you have to stick to this principles that are given that are going to be there in the beginning and the end. Because otherwise, if the middle is not supportive of that, you can get distracted.
That's what actually often happens, isn't it?
Yes, because there's no idea of the principle of essence. You know, that's why this approach to the Veda, that it's sambandha abhideya and prayojana, means that's what you're dealing with. And so you can always see things as its essence. But if we're just taking it as lists and all this, then it's just you'll go from one list to another list to another list. But the point is all these all have connection. They're all dealing with the same thing. So if that's seen, then the life, even if it's more sophisticated, it's still exactly the same lifestyle. Just that there's a little bit more technical aspects being used. But they're details of the same principles. But we'll take it as that the principle is a detail, and then we go into something else. You know what I'm saying? So we're always chanting, so that's a detail, and so I'm more advanced now, so there must be some other detail. No, it's a principle. Right? And the detail is I'm chanting 16 rounds. So the principle is, as I advance, then I start to chant more. If I have more time, I chant. If I don't, I get my 16 rounds done. Is that... Sri Krishna continues, some persons, not knowing the intention of the Vedas, speak of the attractive material results of karma, which are flowers and not fruit. Mm-hmm. That's why I said the flowery language of the Veda, right? So interesting, now that flowery language is specific. You know, just saying, oh, nice language. Yeah, it means that, but at the same time, it also means because flowers look good, but they're not a fruit. Right? They are fools. Those who know the Vedas do not speak in this way. So we can say it's no, but it's authorized in the Veda. Yes, flowers, not as fruit. So the ultimate goal has to be love for Krishna. Yeah. That's the fruit. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. Some persons, not knowing the intention of the Vedas, oh, we just read that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. There's a footnote. Aha, 20. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruits of activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Bhagavad Gita 2, 42-43. Right? So they just catch the flowery language and think this is the goal. But it's not. It's a flower, not a fruit. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Why do the Mimamsakas say that attaining swarga is the highest goal, not knowing the intention of the Vedas? They speak about the attractive results mentioned here as authoritative. Actually, however, those are the flowers, not the fruit. The results mentioned in the scriptures are flowers, not fruits. They mistake the flowers for the fruit. Those persons are foolish. They do not know the goal of the Vedas, since those who know the Vedas, such as Vyas, do not say this. Right? The fruit is developing love for Krishna. There's nothing else actually explained in the Vedas. But because one's not interested in that direction, one is somehow or another always interested in the, you know, the how you say that, modern highway going the other direction. Right? So we have to take towards Krishna. So therefore, then these, like the child, then these fruits, these flowers, in the way of, like, you know, how you say, candy-covered medicine, then are given to encourage you to go in the proper direction. And then by association, then one will slowly give these up and move. It's a slow process, so devotional service is the quick path. You're going through the same path, So therefore, these things of karma, jnana, and all these things, you're going to go through. That's why we'll look at it, oh, but these are for the karmis. They are. But at the same time, they're also for the devotees that still has the impurity of karma. Right? Does that make sense?
It's just the devotees moving in the opposite direction.
Yeah, and going through it quickly. Or the others may be moving forwards. I mean, mamsakas may be moving forward towards swarga, but they won't get past swarga. And they'll come back. While the devotee will move through that and go on. So they move up to that and then give that up. And then keep moving, and then the liberation aspect, then they get rid of that. Then it's just about pleasing Krishna. Yes. Yes. Okay. The BBT purport states, although the doctor may give a child candy-covered medicine, one who urges the child to eat the candy and throw away the medicine is certainly a great fool. Really, you can do that? I didn't know you could do that. I guess it depends upon who puts together, who the doctor is.
Yes.
You take the pill, grind it up, then put it in the candy. Then,
possibilities.
Yes. In this regard, Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, by all the Vedas, I am to be known. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the point. It's not something else. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that in the following 8 verses, 27 to 34, the Lord describes the foolish people. Sri Krishna continued, those who are full of lust, avarice, and greed mistake mere flowers to be the actual fruit of life. Bewildered by the glare of fire and suffocated by its smoke, they cannot recognize their own true identity. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, they think that the intermediate results, the flowers, are the highest result. They have lost discrimination by becoming absorbed in sacrifices and become exhausted by treading the path of smoke. Path of smoke, swarga, and by the smoke from the sacrificial fire. Okay, the path of smoke, which is swarga, right? And the smoke from the sacrificial fire, right? Because, yeah. Shruti says, Kashchit Svam Lokam Na Pratig Gyati Agni Mugdo Haiva Duma Tantaha. Not knowing the Lord absorbed in sacrifice, they become fatigued by the smoke. Right? So if you see the yogis, there's the path of the smoke and the path of the light. Right? And even though the smoke is coming from sacrifice, the problem is they're taking the goal of that, I mean, that flower being offered by that sacrifice as the goal. So therefore, they're functioning in the smoke. Right?
Yeah. That was explanation of the acharya. We have tendencies to not to go to the fruit, to stop with the flower.
Yes, so we'll stop at the flower. And even we'll say, as we chant Hare Krishna, we don't even care about the flower. And then we, are not chanting and not doing the rules and not like this, but at the same time we're making our own plans and endeavors for material benefit. So work that one out.
So we try to extract the juice from the flower itself. Ignoring the fruit.
No, I don't think that they get that far. It means if they're smartas, if they're mimamsakas, then that's what they're trying to do. But I wouldn't give them that much credit. because all those things you stick in that, extractor and all that, and then all the other powders and other, cayenne pepper and turmeric and everything else in the proportions that are mentioned by the, materialists, when you put that all together, it does not taste good. Mm-hmm. But in their idea, they're getting the essence. But the point is, it tastes terrible. because they're taking it, this is the essence. Not you take Corella juice because it's medicine, it's bitter. But this one's supposed to be nectar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This way there are some special people, their profession is to test.
Yes. Yeah, and then tell if it's actually good or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So taste and smell. And most likely they're all in France. Mm-hmm. What to do?
Coincidence?
Yeah, seems to be.
In south of France.
Hmm?
South.
South. Okay. In the province. Okay. Sri Krishna continued, "My dear Uddhava, persons dedicated to sense gratification obtained through honoring the Vedic rituals cannot understand that I am situated in everyone's heart and that the entire universe is non-different from me and emanates from me." Right? Because they're so absorbed in the benefit of the sacrifice, they can't see Krishna.
Yogic Brahmas.
But it's saying anybody. It means it applies, so we're just taking the top. If this applies to the Yogic Brahmins, it applies to everyone below this. Like that.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry. We're included. We're included here. And, you know, I mean, we can try to sneak in with the gyanis, but, you know, generally we fit in this side. But. Indeed, they are just like persons whose eyes are covered by fog. Those who are sworn to sense gratification cannot understand the confidential conclusion of Vedic knowledge as explained by me. Taking pleasure in violence, they cruelly slaughter innocent animals and sacrifice for their own sense gratification, and thus worship demigods, forefathers, and leaders among ghostly creatures. Such passion for violence, however, is never encouraged within the process of Vedic sacrifice. Right? So it may be within, but it's not about that passion for violence, because it has to be done. The point is to bring you to goodness, or you give these things up, right? Because the idea is that by that mantra "Mang Saha," then you know that in the future, then you're going to be the one eating. So then one might think, well, maybe this is not so great after all. Right?
Yeah.
Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "Not knowing me, they do not know the meaning of the Vedas approved by me. Not knowing my opinion, which is hidden, paroksham, they worship devatas, petris, and ghosts by sacrifice. Their mistaken idea is presented. They assume the Vedas say that if one is not able to give up killing animals, then one is permitted to do so by performing sacrifices. But this is not the injunction. Not knowing my intention, with minds overcome by material enjoyment, they take pleasure in violence." Right? So then they get into these aspects. But it's not a matter of, one's supposed to go beyond this. They're taking it, oh, then it's all right, then take pleasure in it. But it's actually, you're supposed to be functioning goodness and giving this up. Right? Because the restriction is to restrict the sense gratification so it's given up. Right? Sri Krishna continued, "Just as a foolish businessman gives up his real wealth in useless business speculation, foolish persons give up all that is actually valuable in life and instead pursue promotion to material heaven, which, although pleasing to hear about, is actually unreal, like a dream. Such bewildered persons imagine within their hearts that they will achieve all material blessings." Right? Because that's the whole thing. Whatever they're doing, it's, you know, it's that they're, it's mentioned in the Vedas, so it's all auspicious, it's all, they don't look at the restrictions about it, because the restrictions means, even we look at, say, from restrictions, we would take it, okay, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. They'll just do the part they do. That's what we discuss, and leave the one we don't. But they also don't look at the restrictions on whether they're even supposed to be involved in that activity or not. Does that make sense? Because it's there, it's bona fide, but who's it bona fide for? So they're not going to see these things. They're just going to see as an opportunity that they can be involved. That's all. "Those established in material passion, goodness, and ignorance worship the particular demigods and other deities headed by Indra, who manifest the same modes of passion, goodness, or ignorance." Right? Depending on their mode, then they'll like that. "They fail, however, to properly worship me." Okay. Right there. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.